Morning. How was everybody? Oh, I'm good. How are you? How was everybody's Thanksgiving?
Great.
A lot of turkey? We don't have all the melatonin in us, though. We're awake this morning, right? Get our Christmas trees up? Yeah. I know I did. So I'm Ashley Atkins. I'm the assistant pastor here. I'm a fourth-year seminary student at Western Theological Seminary in Holland, Michigan. Just a little about myself since you don't know me. My husband, Chris, and my precious daughter, Summit, 10 weeks old, is here. She's cheering me on, as you can tell. She's passed out. But I am so happy to be here, so happy to be kicking off the Advent season with you in our new series. And I am not finding the Mac, of course, so technical difficulties already. That's okay. I can use this little clicker here. Maybe. So, with that said, if you will advance me there, the slide. If you do not already have the Revolution app, go ahead and download that. You can click on the teaching notes icon and follow along with us. Thank you, Matt. So we're going to do things a little bit differently. Instead of having you read the scripture with me aloud off the monitor, I'm going to invite you to sit back, relax, and hear the word of God this morning. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your presence this morning. Open our hearts so that we can hear you, so that we can sit with you and grow closer to you and love you more as you love us. In your precious Son's name I pray. Amen. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, for you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house knew at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and wouldn't have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him. Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. If you'll advance for me, or I can advance. Oh.
Notify people if there's a robbery. There's a robbery.
I don't know if y'all have seen that, but it just cracks me up every time I see it. It makes me think of the commercials with Captain Obvious as well. You just want to look at the guy right and go, thank you, Captain Obvious. So the security monitor's job obviously was to just let folks know when there was a robbery or a problem. That is a pretty easy job, right? Because everybody in the bank knew there was a robbery going on. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard, or possibly even said, I know I have, surely we are living in the end of times. Jesus has got to be coming back soon. The passage you just heard is from the eschatological discourse, say that five times fast, also known as the end of time sermon. And Jesus shared this with his disciples on the Mount of Olives in Holy Week. Earlier in that sermon, he had shared with his disciples the signs of the end of times. And I want to review those with you. This is a pretty busy slide, but bear with me. So the first one is about the tricks. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you." The second one is the fear. "You will hear wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed." How many times have we heard throughout the Bible, do not fear. And this is another time when Jesus emphasizes that. The third one, the hate. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. Then the fall. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. Then the mission. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the tears, for then there will be great distress. And then lastly, the clarity, for as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now it seems because of these signs and other signs that we read throughout the Bible, people are always predicting when Jesus is coming. But is this the reaction to the sermon that Jesus wants? Did he just share this with the disciples so the disciples could just share it with other people? I'm not so sure. In fact, I think it may be completely opposite of that. Because if that's the case, we would have a lot of security monitors and not disciples. Now, the majority of these signs are bad. The fears, the tricks, the hates, the falls, the fears, the tears. And throughout time, there have always been things that can cause God's people to wonder if Jesus is about to return. One of those may be the fall of the temple in AD 70, when the Roman Empire took over Jerusalem. What's crazy about this siege is that before the Roman Empire even tore into Jerusalem, so there's three walls that surrounded the temple. Before they even started going into those walls, the people inside were trapped, so they were already starving. They already had the plague. Even the high priest's family, those were scavengers already. And then, when the Roman Empire finally did break through those walls and take over the Jerusalem, they tore down the temple, even though that wasn't something they were supposed to do. They were just so frustrated that the Jews were revolting that they thought they would just do that for fun. And all the Jews that were left, they either killed them or sold them as slaves. Now, there weren't a lot of Christians there at the time. They had already left Jerusalem. But don't you think they heard the rumors of what the Roman Empire had done? And I'm sure they felt this had to be the end of time coming soon. Jesus had to return, especially so soon after Jesus had died and was resurrected and the sermon was shared. And I'm sure there's times that we have heard of things like this. For instance, World War I. Almost 16 million people, civilians and soldiers, were killed. And not two decades later, we had the worst world war of all time, where more than 50 million people were killed and almost 30 countries were involved. But yet, on December 7th of this year, we will honor those who fell on Pearl Harbor Day for the 76th time since it happened. And of course, September 11th, 2001, a date that will forever be different in our minds. And each of us can tell you exactly where we were, how we heard it, and how we felt when the terrorist attacks happened in New York City and almost 3,000 people lost their lives. Surely the end was near. But yet we're still here. And there are still tragic, unimaginable events happening, from 58 people being killed at a country concert in Las Vegas to 26 people losing their lives while sitting in church on a Sunday morning in rural America. If the worship team would come back up. I'm sure we can all think of times in our lives when we have felt that Jesus was surely going to return. Surely, he can't let this go on much longer. He's got to be here soon. So when is Jesus coming? Aren't these signs apparent that it's got to be soon, right? We just feel that it's such a sad world and it's so hard. Perhaps we are asking the wrong question. Perhaps it's not about when. Heavenly Father, thank you for being the light of the world. Thank you for being light in the darkness that we experience and that the world experiences. Continue to be our light. Continue to light the path. Show us that you are the Messiah and Emmanuel. In precious Son's name we pray. Amen. So there's something deeper and a more illuminating about these signs that I hope to bring your attention to. If you will take a look, I think I got it now. There we go. There we go. If you take a look at the verses that we reviewed earlier about the signs, just take a glance. See if there's something missing. All right. I want you to read this verse with me out loud. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. The word sign is missing from all of these verses. Jesus only uses it here in verse 30. And he does that for a reason. We won't know Jesus is here until Jesus is here. Which brings us to the passage today, and I'm going to give you the opportunity now to read it aloud with me. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, nor the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days of Noah, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour where you do not expect him. So how many times does Jesus reiterate that no one knows or no one will know of his coming? Four times. Four times Jesus repeats this very important piece. And when Jesus repeats something, it's very important. Jesus knows us. He knows that we need to hear things more than once to get them. He knows repetition is how we learn. And he emphasizes the fact that we won't know so that we will change our lens on the focus of this passage. Those signs we reviewed earlier aren't to be the focus. And we know that because, one, he only uses the word sign once in verse 30. Two, the repetition that we see in the passage that we just read. Let's take a look at verse 38 as well. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And then he says, that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, this seems pretty ordinary to me. He didn't pull out the evil times that was going on in Noah's day when he brought the flood. He brought out the ordinary stuff, right? Like, how many of you ate and drank this morning? I did. I had my eggs and bacon and my orange juice like I always do. The reason he gives us those tricks and those fears and the hates and the fall and the tears is because, unfortunately, those are going to be a part of our ordinary Christian lives. I'm sure all of you can think of a time when someone lied to you, or when someone hurt you, or we all have friends that have left the church because they either got hurt by someone in the church or they just gave up on God. He doesn't provide these signs so we can predict when he is going to come back. He provides these signs so that when they happen, we know it's exactly how he said it was going to be. And as disciples, we are to keep pushing. We're to keep running. He shares these so that we can endure. This isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. And I don't know about you all that train for marathons out there. I know, where'd Phil go? He's got the baby. I know he trains for marathons. It's hard. It's not an easy thing to do. It takes practice. It takes endurance. And to be disciples, we have to train. We've got to pray. We've got to study in God's words. We've got to let that stuff entrench us. We have to serve. We have to serve others. We have to serve God. We got to give of our time, of our money. We have to be sure that our souls are aligned with God and his purpose. Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, said, "Live as though Jesus Christ died yesterday. He arose this morning, and he's coming back tomorrow." I'm going to challenge Martin Luther a little bit. I am a seminary student. It's what we do. If you'll notice in the parable of the thief, in verse 42, he says, "You do not know on what day he will come." Then in verse 44, he takes it a little deeper. For the Son of God will come at an hour you do not expect him. I don't think this is a mistake. I think it's a motivation, it's a tactic to encourage our endurance. A few weeks ago, my niece and nephew and my sister came up to visit me and Chris, and they didn't really come to see us. They came to see Summit. But they came up. My family lives about 2.5 hours away, so they came up on Friday night, planned on leaving Saturday morning. Well, my mom was coming up Saturday to travel with me and Chris up to Michigan, and my sister decided that morning that she would just stay until my mom got there so the kids could tell her bye. So this was about 8:30 in the morning when my sister decided to make the switch, and she told my niece and nephew. So my mom was not going to be there for probably 4 or 5 hours. But as soon as she told my nephew, he jumps up, he looks out the window, and he sits back down. I said, "Garrett, what are you doing? Did you hear something?" "I was looking for Mama." That wasn't the only time he did that. He did it for 10 to 15 minutes every hour. I mean, he was just jumping up trying to find her. And he wasn't just watching for her so he could say, "Mama's here." He was watching for her so he could be prepared to welcome her. He didn't want her to pull up and no one be there to greet her. Jesus tells us to keep watch. And it's not, and Garrett had it right. It's not just looking out the window to say, "Hey, Mama's here." Jesus wants us to be ready. He wants us to be here to greet him. In the parable that we read about the thief, when he tells the thief to keep watch, this is what he means. The thief wasn't just, and back then they didn't have alarm systems, right? So he couldn't just go to bed and say, "Well, the alarm will let me know if somebody's coming in." He had to stay awake and be alert. That's hard to do through the night. I don't know about how many of you all work third shift, but that's tough. He either had to do it himself or he had to enlist the help of other folks in his community to help him if he had known when the thief was coming. It isn't enough to just watch. It isn't enough to just speculate. Because it isn't about predicting when. It's about being ready now. Repeat that with me. It isn't about predicting when. It's about being ready now. It isn't important that we know the when. What's important is that we are ready now. The man in the field, he was taken while he was working alongside his coworkers on a normal day. The woman grinding with the handmill, she was probably doing that along with her sisters or her mom at that time. On a normal day. Mary, finding out that she was giving birth to the Messiah, that happened on an ordinary, normal day. And she wasn't interested in the predictions. She was preparing to be ready when that child came. And speaking of that child, Jesus lived his whole life maintaining his humanity. He chose humility over divinity. From being born in a manger to dying on the cross like a criminal. And we find more humility in this passage. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Jesus was divine. He knew what the Father knew, but he chose not to. And he chose not to so he could be more like you and me. Now, if Jesus chose not to know, if he chose not to predict when he is coming back, why in the world can't we? In and we made a choice to follow him, to live each hour with our hearts and our souls ready. And that choice began in our baptism. When we felt the water hit our face, we joined Christ. We joined a large community of brothers and sisters through him and in his mission. And each day, we remember that baptism. Each day, we remember whose we are and that all that Jesus has to offer is ours for the taking. And each time we approach the table, we remember the grace that allows us to live freely. And he continues to sustain us so that we can continue to endure, that we can continue to be disciples, even through those hard times that he promised would happen. So, as we celebrate Advent this season, and we prepare our Christmas tree so that there's gifts underneath them, so when our kids wake up, they're excited, and we prepare to make sure that when family members come over that there's a warm meal on the table, let's not forget to prepare our souls. As a pastor of mine used to say, as surely as he is coming, we are going. It's so simple, isn't it? And think of all the times that we're going to come and go this week in this Advent season, and we're going to be running around really busy. But in the morning when you have your cup of coffee, spend time with God. You don't even have to say anything. Just be with him. On your way to work, I don't know about you, but coming back from work, sitting in my car is me time. I need that time to get ready so that I can be home with my family and not bring all that stuff with me. Spend time with God. At the end of the month, when you have a little bit of money left over, instead of going through Starbucks and getting, what is it now, peppermint something another, give it to Advent Conspiracy instead. Give it to God's kingdom. On that day that you have what feels like all of this stuff happen, you have a trick or a fear and a hate, just all that stuff is happening, and it's just a really bad day. Remember, yes, Jesus promised it would happen, but he also sent his Spirit to help you through that. He is there with you, giving you strength. If there's a new friend in town that doesn't have a place to go to church, invite them. If you have an old friend that you've invited 30 times, invite them for the 31st time. Repetition works for Jesus. It'll work for you. This Advent season, be sure that you aren't only welcome, that you aren't only ready to welcome the Son, but that you're ready to welcome his return. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your Son to live for us, to die for us, and to continue to guide us with your Spirit. We thank you that you have empowered us to live through you with a community of brothers and sisters. We give you all our stuff this morning, and we pray that you meet us, that you just sit with us, and you assure us that you are here and you are still in control. We pray these in your Son's name. Amen. All right, so this week, let's take some opportunity to pray, give, and invite, and prepare our souls to be ready for Jesus' return. Have a great week and be the revolution.